The summer that we were married, Chris and I spent a lot of time taking care of details. We were in graduate school at the time, which meant a couple of things. First, it meant that we had a lot of time to take care of those details, and we had a little money to hire a wedding planner. Now, I loved the planning. It helped me imagine what our life together would be like after the wedding. And Chris said that he liked the planning too, because it gave something for me to do with all of this nervous energy that seemed to well up well in advance of the wedding. It helped both of us to be a little more productive that summer. But despite all of our careful attention, plans did go awry, as they often do. I had overlooked one rather crucial detail. I was so focused on the wedding itself that I forgot that life continues after the wedding. So in my haste to get to the church on time, I showed up with only my wedding dress. I had not packed anything at all for us to wear after the wedding. It was a rather embarrassing miscalculation. And while everything eventually worked out, I learned a really important lesson that day. Life really does go on after the event. This is a season of big events and new beginnings. On this first Sunday of Christmas, the Gospel of John offers us the most spectacular beginning possible. Each of the Gospel writers approach the beginning of Jesus' life from a little bit of a different perspective. For Matthew's community, pedigree matters. Matthew begins by focusing on Jesus' lineage, on his heritage. He takes his audience all of the way back to David and then back to Abraham. Luke's orderly account places the birth of Jesus at a very particular place and time. But historical accuracy is not Luke's only purpose. For the good news of Jesus to matter, Luke has to counter the fake news of the Roman Empire. Mark just catapults us immediately to the banks of the Jordan River. Why focus on a family tree or an unusual birth when there are so many other things to take care of and to report about this miraculous Messiah? And then there is John. John does something completely different, putting the Christ event on the grandest scale possible. For John, the birth of Christ is much more than a particular event in history. In fact, John never really references a birth story at all. Instead, we are taken back to the beginning of the universe. We are invited to imagine a time before even our universe existed. And then we are invited to wonder about this miracle of light and life. The Word became flesh before even there was a beginning. And that Word rests deep in the recesses of God's own being. John asserts that the very origins of Jesus, and in fact our own origins, rest deep in the heart of God. For John, this miracle in the Word made flesh in Jesus is the very inbreaking of God into all of creation. With each passing breath, God is revealed more and more throughout the entire cosmos. This divine imprint of God is on everything that was and is to come. And that really is something to marvel about. John's language is majestic, and his theology is so foundational. He sweeps us out of these pews and off the face of the earth. He takes us on a mystical journey beyond the beginning, deep into the heart of God. He stretches language as far as it can go, but words can only do so much. At some point, even that most beautifully crafted narrative breaks down. And then we are left with our own presence, wondering about the magnificence of God and the genesis of our beginnings. It is perfectly complete, and yet infinitely indescribable. John lays the foundation on which the incarnation is built, this idea that God is with us in all things, and that God is made flesh in Jesus. As Rowan Williams puts it so beautifully, the incarnation for us is a universal and unbreakable solidarity between God and humanity. But while that might be so, I wonder what all of that means to us in practice. It is so tempting to be swept away by this glorious, glorious text. But it is also hard at times to imagine an idea clothed with flesh and blood. I wonder sometimes if this is just a story about theological gymnastics. Or, as I overheard someone say as I was coming into the cathedral on Christmas Eve, is it just about a good show that's put on at St. Mark's on Christmas Eve? I wonder if there is more. Love is made flesh, and that is not some distant idea divorced from our own human experience. The incarnation is about God's unfailing presence in all of the universe, but it is also about God's presence in the midst of our ordinary, mundane lives. What do we need to be truly transformed by that reality? The prologue of John's Gospel, this beautiful reading that we hear this morning, is a container for the story of God with us. It holds the story for us, but it is not all of the story. The details of Jesus' life that we know from the Gospels help fill that container. The Gospels portray Jesus as an ordinary human being, just like us. The Gospels tell of a Jesus who knows the innocence of childhood and the awkwardness of adolescence. The Gospels tell us about this person who knows how to laugh with his friends and how to share a good meal around a table with friends. The Gospels tell us about a person who is frustrated when injustice becomes the norm of the day. We know Jesus through the Gospels as one who grieves deeply when his dear friends pass away. We also know this person who knows painfully those darkest, darkest times of despair when he is abandoned by all who know him. And through the Gospels, we know a person who basks in this indescribable joy, knowing that he matters now and always to the one who created him. This person that we call Jesus comes to know himself through his own experiences and through those of others. And because of this person, Jesus, God comes to know something about God's self too. And because of Jesus, God comes to know something about each of us as well. Because of this particular human being, God is with us. The incarnation is about God being with Jesus and also God being with each one of us. This container that John builds in this prologue, it needs something else before it can be complete. It needs each one of us. For us to move beyond the theological arguments and that good show on Christmas Eve, we need to know that we are each a part of the story. The story of God with us is not a fairy tale. It is our story. Those pains and joys that Jesus experiences as he wanders along those coastlines in Galilee and those hillsides in Jerusalem, those are our pains and joys as well. For this life of Jesus to be of ultimate meaning for each one of us, we must know deep within our being that we, alongside Jesus, rest deep in the heart of God. And when we do know that, then this idea of the incarnation will become less like an idea and more like reality. It will break into our lives and into our worlds, transforming all that is. And then we will discover the life that waits beyond the event, the life beyond the beginning. This Christmas, savor that word made flesh in Jesus, that word breaking into this world and into our lives. This Christmas, enter fully into this season of new birth and new beginnings. And then embrace all of the life that awaits beyond the event, beyond the beginnings. Amen.